Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
What is the cost of corruption? Is it something that comes out of your pocket, or does it come out of your soul? Squeezed out of a state like Illinois, out of a city like Chicago, as thousands upon thousands of people flee, economic refugees who've lost hope, and they're sick of the political machine. That's one cost of political corruption. If you stick around, you end up carrying the load. I'm sticking around. And with only 3 weeks left in the race for mayor of Chicago, and the Democratic machine insiders have pretty much mapped things out, haven't they? The Madigan-Burke Four, Susana Mendoza, Bill Daley, Tony Preckwinkle, Gary Chico. They're the ones who are called viable. They're the ones with the political fundraising love. The candidates who'd really change things, Paul Vallis and Lori Lightfoot, they're kept on the outside of the political feedlot. And Danny Happy Ending Solis, the alderman who's on that FBI paper, liking the massage parlors, loving the Asian women, loving his happy endings. He's going to talk. And Boss Madigan will wake up, Illinois. I don't care what others say. Listen to me. This is about Boss Madigan. He's a target. And no matter who says otherwise, the feds don't put Madigan's name up on federal paper and videotape him and let it come out that way if he's not a target. We're going to talk to one of the most insightful analysts around, our friend Christian McQuarrie, Tribune columnist and member of the Tribune's editorial board. And we'll talk to that college kid from the 13th Ward, David Krupa. Remember him? He's the one who dared challenge Boss Madigan's control and all that funny business and the phony affidavits that followed. Jeff Carlin, WGN executive producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis, is here. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist of the Chicago Tribune. And you know where you are? 3 weeks out from the first round of the mayoral campaign, a broken city dangling on a cliff, the machine warlords and the city oligarchs moving their chess pieces to run Chicago their way. And you're on the Chicago way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Hello.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Jeff Carlin, I got a small observation to make, a personal one.
Okay.
First of all, my family insists that Jeff Carlin doesn't talk enough on the podcast. I'm just going to say that.
All right. I appreciate
all right?
that.
We have to, you know, you got to say. And also, and I want you to talk. And also, you can't see this, everybody, because this is a audio medium.
Medium right now.
But you should check out Jeff Carlin's boots. Because it tells you something about his character. He takes care of his boots. They're leather boots, but you can see that they've been oiled, they've been cleaned, they're old, but they have care. And they remind me of like those studies of Vincent van Gogh studies of he did the workman's boots.
Great, yes.
You know, I'm sure we can find a picture of
yeah.
it. But you do take care of your boots, and doesn't that say something about a man?
Yeah,
when he does that?
It's hard to find good boots when you got big feet. So I'm happy that I found these. But I always think of like that scene in Full Metal Jacket, and they're polishing their boots and cleaning their boots, and it's
what is your malfunction?
Yeah, exactly. What's your major malfunction? Yeah. It actually comes from my dad, because as a kid, my dad had one of those, and it was his father's, a wooden box with the shoe prop on it,
right?
And you open it up, and there's all the tins of the with the oils and the waxes,
sure.
and the brushes and the cloths, and
but it's clear that you do that.
Yeah, I like that. It's one of those things. It's like making pies for me. It's very therapeutic, you know, working through a process. I enjoy it.
If you have a good shoe, a good boot, you take that, go to a store. Don't go to the Walgreens.
Right.
Go to a real shoe store. Get that stuff that takes the salt out of it first, mm-hmm. right? Let it sit for a day and then buff it out and work it out and clean it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's something about, I don't know, I remember I had a pair of boots like this years ago that I loved. And it's just something about it. It's like something like a secret between you and yourself, right?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's very, very reassuring. You know, in a crazy world, your man can rest on his boots.
That's kind of bizarre, but
yeah. I mean, it's like the things, you know, things you can control.
Yeah.
You can't control everything else in the world, but you can control the look of your boots or the
you can't control politics, rather.
No.
Do we talk too much about politics on this show?
Well, the title of the podcast is The Chicago Way, so I think we would be remiss if we didn't.
Do you ever notice how much people use the phrase The Chicago Way now?
Yeah. It's quite
like
common.
You see it like on radio. Other people talk about it in print. But I remember once when the Sun-Times admonished me for daring, like, don't use The Chicago Way, their editorial board said, years ago.
Really?
Yeah, because I would use it to, you know, Obama, Chicago Way.
Right.
I mean, he had daily, remember?
Yeah.
They put daily in.
Yep.
They brought Daley and put Daley in the White House and brought Rahm to Chicago to fill in for Rich. I mean, and I remember saying it, and they'd said, "No, don't. You should not say that." They were like wagging their tongue. Now everybody uses it, even them.
Yep, everybody, and even in the weather now. You know, they're saying it. It's that cold weather. That's the Chicago way.
I know. You can't use it to talk about the weather, for God's sake. Now we're going to have a thermal whiplash?
With thermal whiplash, right.
Is that the new buzz thing?
That's the new buzz thing, yeah. But, I mean, it's an app name. I mean, from negative 25 to 40 plus. I mean, that's equivalency of going from 80 to 30, essentially.
I hate to say this because I was mocking our friend Amy Jacobson when I was on with Dan and Amy earlier last week. But and you noticed the correction I gave in the last podcast mm-hmm. about the catsicles, that there's really 200,000 feral catsicles. I'm really sorry. I know you love cats, and I hate cats. But
you know.
I do love you and Christine, and you have Tyrion the half-cat and other cats. And I'm just sorry, but
and they love you.
And they love me, definitely. I know. But and I did take a Sudafed. We're in a small room now.
I know. I feel bad. I've got cat fur on my sweater, and I can.
Oh my God!
I can see John trying not to look at it.
I know. I can't even see. My eyes are slits now. what about the feral cats? I mean, are we going to get a lot of catsicles now in the thermal?
Yeah, what'd you call that? The thermal whiplash. Yeah.
It's all warm outside.
Cats are pretty resilient, though. I mean, they'll find a place to stay warm. They'll find a drier vent to curl up. Or a lot of times, the dangerous part for cats like that is that they get into they see a car that's just parked and it's warm, so they climb up inside of it and they hunker down for the cold. And then the next day, the person comes out and starts the car, and then the cat dies because it'll get stuck in the engine or it gets freaked and it.
But there's no like moving parts that'll or
it
are
could
there
be. It
like
could
fan
be.
Belts.
Yeah,
like,
you're right. Yeah.
Like that. Oh.
Yeah,
blood spurting around.
Yeah. I remember one of my memories of being as a kid taking road trips with my parents, and we had it was a big old Chevy van, conversion van with a fold down bed in the back, and the captain's chairs that swiveled, and the tables you could put in the mount into the hole in the floor, and we were driving to Niagara Falls, and we were in somewhere in Canada, and we had. You know, we'd go stop for lunch or whatever and
right.
go back out to the car. And we're driving along with this terrible smell. And then the car starts making a terrible noise. And then, you know, my dad said the power steering is not working. You know, so he pulls over and we get it towed to a shop. And they pull it up and a snake had climbed into the engine cavity. It like slithered its way up and got caught in with the fan belt. And it intentionally derailed the fan belt.
Well, it must have been a big snake.
It was a big snake.
Probably like a rat snake.
Yeah,
a
rat snake. It was thick. I mean, it was a...
Thick and long and black.
Yep.
Rat eater.
Uh-huh.
A rata.
Yep.
Papa rata.
Exactly. Ooh, I know.
A snake.
I know.
You know what? I don't have much truck with snakes. I don't see them around.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I do. Well, so
when I was little, we'd see.
Yeah. At my parents' house, they live out in the suburbs, and then they have a little lake house out in Volo on a little pond, a little lake. And they
garter snakes.
Yeah, garter snakes. That's what I always ran into. Nothing beyond that.
But no, like, big milk snake in the shed.
No.
You know, stripy milk snake. Jeff Carlin.
Yeah. That was my brother is afraid of snakes, so that's always funny because whenever snakes come around, it was, you know, he freaks out and I get to mock him with him. Yeah, he hates snakes.
Why is he afraid? My sister-in-law, Georgia, she's
I'm not
also,
sure. I don't know. I mean, it probably had to do with seeing a garter snake in our backyard when he was a kid or something.
The word for snake in Greek is, I think, perfectly onomatopoetic. It's phoebe.
Yeah.
Phoebe. Phoebia. Phoebe. Phoebia is the plural. But in Greece, like, the snakes are poisonous. So if you're bitten by one, chances are you're...
It's the last days.
Yeah, last days. Take a shovel, go to the churchyard, you know?
Yeah.
There's a couple snakes like that. But I don't see them around.
Yeah.
The natural world, I don't see the red-tailed hawk anymore. I don't see.
Well, yeah, but you have a lot of peregrines. Owls. Peregrines and owls are pretty prolific in this area, and that's probably one of. That's why, although there you've seen more rabbits lately in the last 10 years or so, because you have seen a fall off in the owl population, but the peregrine population is supposedly making a comeback. So
I know that the birders are very jealous about the peregrines, so they never tell you where they are.
Right.
They like kind of had a little secret secret birder society. Like we used to have one at the Tribune Tower.
Oh, yeah.
And but you weren't supposed to say.
No. First rule of bird club or birder society, don't talk about birder society.
Right. You can't talk about it.
When I was a kid, so my parents' house out when we grew up, there was it was Palatine, but it was developing Palatine. I mean, there was a big spurt post-war where there was a lot of development. And
a lot of garter snakes all over.
Right. And so, but it was all farms before that, and it still was farms. I mean, even my house as a kid, we backed up to open to a forest and then a farm and then more farms and then some subdivisions and that kind of thing. But it was smatterings of developments here and planned houses there and tract housing there. But a lot of a lot of open land and a lot of forested land. But we had owls. There was an owl couple, because owls mate for life. And they lived in this weeping willow next door in our neighbor's house, who was owned by – he bought the first home in this subdivision. So he was a World War II vet who came back, one of these guys who parachuted over France. I mean, tough as nails. Still to this day, lives in that house, lives with my parents, drives his little Mustang. I mean, he's a certified badass to a T. But his weeping willow that he planted – is now gigantic, 60, 70 years later, and it had owls in it. And these owls every year would come back, and it had little owlets, and they'd
check you out, Mr. Sterling North.
And they were vicious. Yeah. It used to be you would have when they would have babies, the crows and ravens, mostly crows, but some ravens now and then, but the crows would come through, and the crows would try to eat the eggs.
Yes, they want to kill them.
They want to kill them, and you would see, a murder of crows in the trees waiting for the mother to fly off. And the mother would fly off and they'd start to get up and they'd fly towards the nest. And she would circle back. And I'd just sit on my back porch and watch this. In the air, you would see this mother owl knocking out one after another crow. And she would just knock them out of the sky. They'd fall dead to the ground.
Kill them.
She'd break their necks midair. And it was incredible to see the skill and the power of these owls. And the noise from
it's like National Geographic out your window.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
We did have one like that near the churchyard where St. Catherine's was right down the street. And I remember a little boy, I was looking out the window and I heard a crow.
Mm-hmm.
And the crow started calling this way. Ka 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 ka. All right, but crow. Sound.
Sure.
I can't do the crow. Yeah. But it was like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then another, ka-ka, 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 like that. Pretty soon there was a bunch of them. And they were massing, like in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to a tree and they were circling around it because there was an owl in that tree. And they were trying to drive it out.
Mm-hmm. That's what they would do.
Eternal enemies.
Yeah.
Eternal enemies like, You ever watch that National? Do you like National Geographic?
Yeah, of course.
I'm getting hooked on Life Below Zero, the Mountain Men, but the one I really love, Eternal Enemies, Lions and Hyenas, The Battles.
Yeah.
I love those nature shows. Does that mean I'm getting old now?
Probably.
Like I got hair coming out of my ears now? Am I like old man watching nature shows?
You're Richard Attenborough?
What is that? Yeah. What is that? You know?
Yeah.
I used to watch like, hot supermodels wrestling or something, and now I'm watching nature shows. What is going on?
Yeah, I love the nature shows. That's one of my favorites.
I do too.
But nothing is quite like the nature of Chicago politics.
And we're going to talk about it with Christian McQuarrie and then David Krupa. And then someday we're going to ask Mr. Krupa if he's related to the drummer.
I'm sensing out on you.
As I said, our next guest is Christian McQuarrie, our friend, columnist at the Chicago Tribune, and also board member of the greatest editorial board in the Midwest, the Chicago Tribune Editorial Board.
Hello, well, thank you. That's quite an introduction.
Yes, I know. It is a good introduction. And I just have to say, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. I've seen you come and go a little bit around the office, but this is the first time we've really had a chance to converse. So I want to hear more about how you're feeling.
Oh, with the health scare?
Yes, and I don't feel like I got a full understanding of what, from your perspective, how you felt while that was unfolding. Did you, like, you knew something was not right in your body?
Yeah.
What were you feeling?
The boys, as you know, from reading the, if you read the column, you did, the boys said, "You're going to the doctor. We're taking you in." And I was like, no, because I have 30, we have 30 people coming over. And I had two roasts. They're still in the freezer. The roasts are in the freezer. The ham from George Lamberis at Black Hawk Ham, you know, the
Palace Grill.
That's been cut up and eaten.
But what were you doing that was alarming to them?
I was babbling.
You were babbling.
I was babbling to George about paying him. And he's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, George, I can't, you know," he goes, "I'm not taking any money." And I said, "I know, but I've already called." I called a guy named Guy who knows the Blackhawks. And I said, who runs the Blackhawk charities? And I was going to give money for that in the name of George Lamberis of Palace Grill to the charity to make up for the fix issue, right? Because
so
I don't want people cooking stuff for me for free. I'm not driving a Bentley and getting it free delivered to me.
Right.
Like some columnists.
Did that happen?
Not at the columnists at the Tribune don't do that.
Were your sentences just kind of tumbling together? You just weren't making a lot of sense?
Yes, I was kind of babbling, and George is like, "Are you all right, man?" He goes, "Yeah, whatever." And then Spiro and Peter picked it up. Spiro picked it up and said, "Dad, you're not right."
Did you realize that you were babbling?
I knew my face was hot. I was like, I didn't feel right, and I just guzzled down an orange crush with ice cream, and I had already had a root beer float earlier in the day.
And so, was that an unusual craving for you?
The sugar, yeah. According to a man of science sitting next to me here, will tell you that. As you, what is explained to me by the endocrinologists, my cells were craving food. Sugar is the fastest food to get to them.
Right.
You know, and I was binging on sugar trying to feed them, but the cells were starving because there was no insulin to provide them the pathway to get, have the food, basically.
Okay.
So I was, they took me to the hospital and I was babbling and they.
Do you remember all that?
Barely. I do remember something about Chinatown.
Saying something about thinking
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I said something
through?
Like to one of the doctors, like, I get, well, they said I could be diabetic, they said. And I said, "Really? Well, if I'm diabetic, then I can't go to, what if someone asked me to go to Chinatown for spaghetti dinner at midnight?" Trying to make a joke. Which the outfit joke is, don't go to Chinatown at midnight if they ask you to sit for spaghetti dinner, mm-hmm. because you're going to walk in. They don't explain it, but you'll walk in the door and there'll be plastic on the floor.
Right.
And the plastic's for you, for your bodily fluids.
So did the doctors...
They didn't understand that. The kids were freaked out and they were like, Dad...
Who would?
Dad's saying random stuff that he might, you know, let's not let anybody record him.
But did you think they just... Hearing you, seeing you within the first 10 minutes said, we think we know what this is, or...
They knew. The nurse would not give me water, and I was demanding water.
You were demanding... Said, no. You were dying of thirst.
And she said no. And that's one of the first triggers.
The really? First the thirst. Thirst. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the number that your sugar level was, I looked it up. 977.
Yeah.
And it's... I mean, a normal number is closer to 100. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what, I mean, were they, you were in intensive care, right? Because they,
for a day.
And did they immediately get that number cut in half, or what happened?
They put me on IV insulin immediately, and the numbers started dropping, but then spiked and then went, you know, they were playing with the chemical,
mm-hmm.
the chemicals. But every doctor I talked to said I was lucky, that I should have been in a diabetic coma.
Right.
And in the diabetic coma, your brain goes, and so does your kidneys.
Yes.
So the kidneys should have been sliced up. The brain should have been sliced up. Some kind of Greek stubborn thing kept me alive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a good boy.
Yes. So could you not eat that whole week you were in the hospital, or what were they?
No, they put me on a diet.
You okay, know, right
insulin,
away.
And I've stayed on the diet. So it was 265 pounds. I'm now 238 pounds.
Wow.
And I know it doesn't look like it, but...
No, it does.
But
yeah,
I,
it does.
I,
your shoulders
That's the first thing I
looks...
said when I saw you the first day mm-hmm. after we
yeah.
got back.
I've hit a plateau.
Well.
You know, here's what I eat. I eat egg whites, and I eat a lot of greens, like dandelion greens, chard. I eat yogurt, 2% or 0% with some berries.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically about it. Some skinless chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to drink a lot of water, like, you know, a gallon of water a day. But what? You're the first person that got me to talk about this in weeks. And I just don't want to be one of those boring health guys, you know.
It's not boring
like,
at all.
Let's have kale together. Let's sit around and have kale chips. Like, I want somebody to give me two in the back of the head if I ever say kale chips. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, Jeff?
I will.
You
but
bet.
So what do you have to monitor, and what did you have to give up?
Give up? Well, I look at it more like glass half full, you know?
Yes.
I get to keep my life. I get to keep my feet on the end of my legs. I get to keep my eyesight for now.
Get to keep working.
I get to keep working. I get to the last two columns, Kristen, that I did, because I had diabetes. I was going through this sugar spike long before I knew about it. So days before. So the day before, the Christmas Eve is always the Christmas Eve prayer, like from the petitions at church. If you're Catholic or Greek Orthodox or Orthodox, you know about the petitions at the church. And that's what that Christmas Eve poem is based on. And I always rewrite it. I rewrote that earlier in the week, right before Christmas. But the two I wrote the days before, leading up to Christmas Eve, were one was on the opportunists running for mayor, the four of them. You know, Susana Mendoza, Daley, Chico,
Preckwinkle.
And Preckwinkle. Mm-hmm. And the other was about the kid from the 13th Ward that we're going to have on in a few, David Krupa. And I thought, in terms of column writing, I thought those weren't the best columns I ever wrote, those two. But it's amazing that now that I know what I was going through, that I even got them.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even, I was trying to think of simple things like Madigan, 13th War. I was trying to put ideas right. I'm like, why won't these ideas come together, Jeff?
I imagine it's like, you know, in a fever state where you're trying to, the thoughts just kind of roll back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you can't, like, sink them into you, you know?
Yeah, I was trying, there were, like, ideas. I knew what I had to write. I'm talking to my editors. You know, I talked to John McCormick. I talked to Trevor Jensen, the two guys I talked to about columns. And these are ideas floating by, and I'm reaching, trying to grab them, you know? And I couldn't grab them. And for some reason, I used a bigger net, grabbed a couple, stitched them together, made a column.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what was going on with my body or my brain at that time.
Was a seed planted at any point, like with a doctor? So did anybody ever say to you, you're kind of borderline here?
Mm-mm.
Or so no.
You know why?
Because you don't go to the doctor.
I didn't go to the doctor. Yeah. You know why I didn't go?
Why?
Because I didn't want to miss a column deadline.
Yeah.
And you get doctor's appointments, and then you're like, well, I got 4 to write a week. I'm by myself. I don't have a leg man. And the readers are expecting the column. And so are the editors, let's be honest. They say, oh, take care of your health. But really, they want that column in there. And because it's all about clicks and the Tribune, and we judge on clicks. And I didn't want to let the readers down.
Mm-hmm.
Or myself. I didn't want to be one of these guys that say, John Cass is taking the day off. Because you know what that means in column writing. What does it mean?
Well, I mean,
so be honest. What does it mean?
I honestly don't. When I see that, I think it legit means someone is taking a day off.
What do you think it means?
On vacation,
Jeff?
They deserve it. Good for them. It makes the readers miss you.
Mental health day. It means you couldn't get it done. That's what it means to me. See, that's where my warped brain is about. You know, it's like I'm so Southwest Side. I'm so. I got to get to the factory. I got to get out there, you know.
You need to take vacations. I hope that this spurs you to do that. You're going to continue to lose more weight. Your knees are going to feel better. Your hips are going to feel better. He's dancing a little bit right now.
I'm doing that dance. I don't know what it is.
There's a name for it. I'm going to think of it.
Yeah. Fortnite dance. Put that in your minds, everybody.
It was a white man dance, for sure.
Right.
Dad.
Churning
dad.
The butter or whatever.
Yeah, butter churned dad on the
It wasn't the sprinkler.
Wedding dance.
He wasn't flossing.
But I am biting my lip. I'm biting my lower lip.
You got the white man underbite, and he's kind of stirring the cauldron in front of him with a broomstick. That's what it looks like. You need to do that. I hope that in addition to all of the health stuff that you do take some time and take Betty on a trip, and don't just make your only vacation be Michigan. You know, there's a lot to see in this world.
You know what? I'm always, why don't I take time off?
I don't know.
Because I think I'm going to lose my job. I think I'm going to, like, if I don't show up, it'll be a Wally Pip thing. It's weird. I know it's sick because they do say stuff like, oh, John, we're not going to fire you. We love you, blah, blah, blah. But you never know. And I'm just always terrified of losing my job. Is that nuts?
No, it's not. And I think because you are the center of your family. You're the breadwinner. You have Yaya living with you. You have two boys. I think that is a great responsibility. And so it's understandable, but you can't keep doing this at the expense of your health. And I think it's good for readers to miss you sometimes.
Maybe give them a break from me.
Exactly.
You know?
God.
Not me. Hey, guys, you should have a break from Cass.
That's a great way to look at it. Yep.
All right. Well,
But are you still eating meat? I'm sorry. I just need to know. Like, I'm seeing you post pictures
of, much out of
lamb.
Me when she does. She gets in her Kristen mode, her sister mode, and I say stuff here that I don't say even in my column or anywhere. Okay, what?
Are you still like roasting lamb and that is still okay to eat on your diet?
I can have roast lamb. I can have roast chicken. I'm getting a grill, a gas grill, which I thought was apostasy at one point. I'm getting a 6-burner gas grill for the deck so I can do fish.
Great.
And grill fish.
Okay.
And Casey's is right down the street, so stop.
So that'll bring your number of girls up to 8?
I was going to say. Yeah.
2, 4, 6. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, number, you just did the math.
Like, I don't collect puppies. I collect girls. sorry. And, I can eat meat.
So no desserts, no pie, no...
Who's Your Mama pie.
Okay.
No Jeff Carlin pie.
I'm still working on a sugar-free...
I think I can have. I think I can have like a chicken pot pie, but I want to control this thing.
Yes, and you can. Can you have liquor? Can you have liquor?
Not really. Oh. I can't have. I love my favorite liquor, 18-year-old Glenmorangie.
Scotch.
Can't do scotch.
The
it's too sugary.
Real finish, not the fake finishes that sweeten it. I guess I could have vodka.
Yeah.
But what's vodka?
It's delicious. You should try it.
I'll try it. Wine is a problem, but I'm just starting to learn all this stuff. Readers and people who listen to this, they're going to send me stuff. And you guys, please email me, send me whatever you think, because it's a learning thing.
Right.
What do I do with the American Diabetes Association? I've been getting calls from them. They want to use my story. How can I monetize this?
I don't know. See, before you do that, right. I need to do a full background check on the Diabetes Association. I need to look at their charitable forms that they file, make sure that all the money is actually going to help people, that the executive director or whatever isn't making like 500 grand a year.
That
they got to get the full Kristen.
Like they got to get somebody. Yep, right,
yep.
And then see what they actually do spend their money on. Exactly. I don't know, but.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, monetize. I should take pictures of myself. My friend Nick Kitos said, take pictures of yourself every 6 days.
That's a great idea.
As you're losing weight, which I haven't. And he goes, then we can monetize this, because monetizing is important too, right? Isn't it?
No. Helping other people, which you're doing by telling your story. But photos would be helpful. I mean, you do look different, and you probably don't see it. But you take one tonight, and then keep taking them every week.
You know, somebody said on Twitter, I just did a Mutza column, and somebody said, every time Susana Mendoza says, yeah, right, your blood sugar goes up 275 points. And then Susanna gets on Twitter and says, yeah, right, like that.
She's just playing with
me. I know, she's playing.
And I sing, oh, Susanna, now don't you cry for me, 'cause I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
But I want to monetize I should, because you just told me something about Goose Island that really...
Yes.
What?
So by the time listeners hear this, this would have happened already, but Goose Island Brewery is having a Dibs open mic event where you can walk up to the microphone, and if you give a good Dibs story, you can get now... They have two cans of beer, pro Dibs and anti Dibs. So they made a special beer for Chicago Dibs. I love it. I mean,
I should charge them.
I got while we were taping this, I got the press release from the fine folks over at Goose.
Yeah.
They're calling it the Great Dibs Debate Series. It will have taken place over the weekend.
What, is like Eric Zorn going to go up there and do like, you should travel together, and John's going to say no?
This free event will allow the public to take their stance on Dibs. They will have 2 minutes to make their opinion known and try to sway our moderator and the audience. And then they have two cans, the anti-big tall boys of the anti-Dibs and pro-Dibs.
Yes. I'm pro, of course.
Yeah. It's a Southside thing.
I know. I also, when I was listening to this radio show talk about this on the way in, it annoys me that this is happening in like hipster Northside, Goose Island, and like all these people are going to be like, I live at Armitage and Halstead and I can never find a spot.
We used to live there.
Yeah, I mean, right. I don't have a problem with snow clearing on the south side, because I don't live in one of these hipster areas. I live with cops and teachers and firefighters.
Yeah, and guys don't cuff their jeans where you live.
Oh,
okay,
please.
And they don't walk around like the ideal man where you live doesn't look like the guys from. Can you hear me now?
No, they don't look like that.
I used to cuff my jeans, but only because
you're not a beta man. You're an alpha, Jeff Carlin, Blackhawk wearing ginger. You know what Jeff looks like? In case you haven't realized.
Oh, boy.
Game of Thrones, Thormund Giantsbane.
Yep. That's me.
Exactly.
And for if you don't watch Game of Thrones, the big redheaded ginger with the blue suit from the Capital One commercials, that's the guy.
And he kills
I don't know that person either, so now I'll have to watch.
But I would like to
rather sexy.
To hat tip to Kristen on that the Trixie impersonation, because if you sound like you fit right in Wrigleyville, and in Wrigleyville it's always Chads and Trixies. Those are the two types
of... Really? What's a Chad?
Chad, bruh, dude, let's go get some beer at Goose Island. Dibs!
Ew.
Yeah.
Barf,
I don't even want them to have dibs now. They shouldn't even use it.
I know.
And
you know what? They're out there like maybe. Do they even know how to shovel, these people? And why do you have a car if you live in Lincoln Park?
Why don't you have a good beer like Maplewood Brewery? Do you ever have Charlatan, the pale ale from Maplewood Brewery?
I haven't. No.
Yeah.
I'm not a good beer connoisseur.
My brother's in-laws.
Okay. Not Maple Tree and Blue Island.
No,
you're talking
Maplewood.
About a different Maplewood. Okay.
I'm in the 32nd ward.
Oh, all right.
Actually, Maplewood, right?
I don't know those north side wards.
Maple Tree didn't they have a fire?
They did, but they reopened in a temporary spot. Mm-hmm. And then they're rebuilding. So Maple Tree Inn, wonderful. One of my favorite spots. And we do have good breweries on the south side. And they're a little bit hipsterish too, a couple of the new ones. But you know, this is not a dibs conversation among 25-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
Who need to make room for their...
Yeah, who are... Cause the problem is that their Mini Cooper or whatever is stuck in the snow. That's not dibs' fault. That's... You bought a stupid car.
I'll tell you one thing you never see on the south side. You never see Blue Virgin Mary's used for dibs.
Oh, God.
And I see that it's a north side thing.
Whoa.
What? Yes. Going to hell. Blasphemy. What? Yeah, they put... Dick Mel's old Streets and Sand guy used to call me up whenever they found the Virgin Mary, because some would. The Poles moved out. You know, they might leave their Virgin Mary in the backyard.
Right.
And others would use it for...
You're supposed to bury it.
You're supposed to bury the Virgin Mary?
No, that's St. Joseph.
St. Anthony.
St. Anthony, sorry.
Turn around, St. Anthony.
Right, that's
the finder. We tried to use him.
St. Joseph is in the car.
Right. We tried to use St. Anthony... whenever Rich Daly would lose, like, tests for the lieutenant's exam, when he didn't like the fact that there was a lot of white guys that scored well, and he didn't like the politics of it, he'd just lose the tests. And we used, you know what's amazing, though? Okay, why is it that Bill Daly is being treated like some kind of reformer by media? What's going on?
Wow, that was a hard turn there, John.
I know, but it just got me.
I have two opinions. One is I think he has a really smart campaign staff surrounding him, and they know how to get a front page story in the Tribune. They know what people are sort of hungry for in the city. So I think that's part of it. And then I think there is a part of him where, how old is he now? 72? You know, this is just something for him. He kind of says what he wants to say. He's not highly messaged. He's not being careful. I think Chicagoans kind of like that. You know, some of these other candidates, you can tell they're being so careful about how they answer the Burke question. And like, you ask Mendoza something about Ed Burke, and she immediately goes to Tody Preckwinkle. You know, she's been trained to try to turn the conversation. Bill Daly just kind of takes questions head on. So I think that sounds sort of reformer-ish.
How do I deal with this? I can't deal with another Daly. And I think he's a good politician. I think all four of them, all the Burke Madigan four, are good politicians. But what does it say if Chicago elects one? What does it tell us?
I mean,
they're all good.
Yes, and he's probably going to be in the runoff.
Then what do I do?
I don't know. I don't know, John.
Jeff.
I mean, just keep focusing on that.
Take a vacation.
Weight loss and vacation and
yeah.
I don't know. Were you in the room when he came to the Ed board?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had your little bell?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes,
and I asked them all about Alderman Patrick O'Connor.
Right.
Should he be finance chairman? None of them could answer me.
Three of them said
yeah.
that they would be okay with it under the new rules. You know, as long as he follows the new rules and workers' comp is moved somewhere else. Bill said that, Chico said that, and I think Preckwinkle said that.
But the point is, Alderman O'Connor's wife makes a fortune selling real estate.
Yeah.
And he's the chairman of the finance committee, and there's a lot going on. And I just don't know if that's... I just don't know if spouses should have jobs. I really don't. I got a problem... Like, okay, if my spouse is a veterinarian, I don't have a problem. As long as the veterinarian doesn't have a city contract to do away with dogs. Let's put it that way. If my spouse is a lawyer that knocks down property taxes, and I'm somebody who puts up property taxes, I got a problem.
What if your spouse is a teacher?
My spouse is a teacher.
Well,
Betty is a teacher.
You're also not an alderman, but my point is that someone who's a part of a union.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of outside income is absolutely a problem. I mean, $100,000 is a lot of freaking money to be making from our coffers for an alderman.
Now up to like 120.
Right, but it's 110 is like the average at the moment, I think, but it's somewhere as high as.
Does that include visits to the massage parlor?
Those blue pills?
Did you want happy ending?
My God. Alderman Danny Solis says nice endings
right.
in the federal paper.
Right, right. Nice endings.
But
right.
I think that I know at least one of the FBI agents, and I just got a feeling he's Catholic and very straight-laced, you know? I think he changed it.
Right.
Right.
I don't know if you can, if it's legal.
Probably not.
If you can.
He's like, he said something about an ending.
Yeah.
It felt
yeah.
good. So we'll go with
ran with it.
Thank you for explaining the whole Danny Solis problem. Now let's get to it. What's the next step? Because John Cass did a column for Sunday. This is after Sunday, in which he talks about Sheldon Silver. I did that on the podcast too. Sheldon Silver of New York.
Yeah.
As the template for Mike Madigan. But is that the real story, Madigan? Or what is the real story with
I don't think we know yet. I mean, the fact that this recording of him is from, what, 2014, I just don't know enough yet. I think there are definitely more shoes to drop. I think it will continue to impact the mayoral race.
How's it impacting? Because if Bill Daley's still getting money from the Ricketts, and the other Ricketts is giving money to Susana Mendoza, and Tony Preckwinkle has all the SEIU money and that clout, really, what is it? It's really just four horns on the head of the same four-horned goat, as far as I'm concerned.
It has changed, I think, the tone of the race, and I do think if you are... I mean, a lot of voters in the city we know are liberal leaning, progressive, who they are kind of sick of the Chicago way. And so that little whatever support in that community that someone like Susana Mendoza had or Tony Preckwinkle had, but especially Susana Mendoza, I think they're giving other candidates a
you think
tougher
so?
Look. Yeah, I mean,
are they going to give Enya a look?
Maybe.
I haven't seen her do anything that suggests that she knows what she's talking about.
Oh, I think she's pretty. I think she's extremely smart.
I do think she's really mm-hmm. smart.
Yeah, she's.
I don't know what she means. I think she's extremely smart, and I think she'll make a great congressperson, woman.
Right. Maybe
when
mayor's
she takes
not the
out
right.
Hibbert, right? Or Hibbert? Dr. Hibbert from The Simpsons? Danny Davis? She should be the congressman. And look at the other congressman, Bobby Rush endorsing. Billy Daly.
Bill Daly, I saw that.
Yep.
Yeah.
What sort of capital does somebody like Bobby Rush have anymore? I mean, I know he keeps getting reelected, but he and Danny Davis, I think there's a case to be made, and we talk about this every election cycle. You know, step aside. Let people like Amara Enya and other up-and-coming William Calloway.
Man, I really like William Calloway. Mm-hmm. I noticed the Tribune did not endorse him.
We did not.
But I like him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know. I got my progressive people.
Look at you.
They're like my shield, you know. But I do. You know, Scott Wagspeck, I'm still pushing him for finance chairman.
Sure.
Better choice than Pat O'Connor.
That's what the city needs.
Absolutely. The city needs a real working city council, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Seriously.
And a transparent one. And one that doesn't block every effort for transparency and... You know, if Inspector General and all of the things that they sit on, and the fact that they forced out their last Inspector General, they basically cut his budget and drove him out of town.
I don't like the fact that
because he was doing too much.
I don't like the fact that Joe Ferguson is from the executive branch. If you're going to have an Inspector General, it should be from the legislative branch, from the council itself. The council should be in charge of its own money. Council, you know, and journalists better stop this. Oh, Rahm's going to push so-and-so out. I mean, who are you? Rahm, you're just the mayor. You're not the legislative branch. Understand, people.
The council is not run by the mayor, but I think when he wants to get something done, it perpetuates a laziness because he has staff people who put together all of the bullet points and sit down with the council, yeah. And the council doesn't do any of its own independent research.
Because they don't have the people.
They don't need people to do some Google searches,
right.
And
no, but
have
they should have staff. They should have the council should have like the finance. Well, you know, as long as Burke controlled the finance staff, but that should be open to the council. I mean, there
yeah, I mean,
should
you've
be
got 60 people who yeah. work on who yeah. work for the finance committee. I just think there's a total lack of intellectual curiosity, It is perpetuated when you have someone like a Rahm or a strong mayor who and Mike Madigan does this too. It's why people kind of rail against him when they're running and then they get down to Springfield and realize, oh, I kind of need him. I need his help. I need his staff. They draft the bills. They stand there next to you when you're introducing your bill and answer all the questions and whisper in your ear. So
and they're standing there when Mike does his deposition. And says, I can't recall. Don't remember.
Don't remember 100 times.
Yep.
I don't recall.
At this point in time, to the best of my knowledge, I don't recall.
Fantastic.
Right? Yeah. That was a great story by Ray Long. Mm-hmm. Tribune staff, they really work hard, you know?
They do. That was a deposition in a case that Jason Gonzalez filed. Just trying to call Madigan out on some of the tricks he plays every election cycle, which he's been doing for years, where he loads up the ballot with
O'Malley's
candidates who aren't real.
Yes, Gonzalez's.
I used to cover it all the time at the Southtown, and it didn't. It was so in the weeds that it wasn't really appreciated. But I used to go and knock on their doors
of
all
those.
These candidates because someone like a Bob Rita, right. Who is a white guy from Blue Island, they would put. You know, maybe he'd have one legitimate Hispanic candidate running against him. So then they would gather up a whole bunch of other Hispanic-sounding mm-hmm. names, fake addresses, whatever, try to split up the
Madigan
vote.
Madigan does it, too.
Well, that's, yeah.
That was him. And I used to go, you know, compare all the signatures and prove that all these people are plants. I used to call them plants. Stop voting for the plants.
But, you know, before you go, I've got to ask you about this column that you wrote. I mean, you don't write enough columns. Okay, I'm just going to say it. You should be writing two a week. They should be on page 2 or 3.
It'll never happen.
I just think they should, especially when I'm off. Why don't they run? When I'm not there, they should run, you know? But anyway, the familiar anguish, this is from emails coming. We tried to make it work. We waited until the kids were out of school. We worked up the costs and finally put the house on the market. And finally, we had to break up with Illinois. Kristen McQuarrie's stories and columns on the exodus out of Illinois is just heartbreaking. And the one you did just a few days ago did very well online, but it's just like, I don't know, it's like a heavy weight to read.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, I probably got 300 emails after that column, and many of them from people, you know, on the brink of leaving Illinois, already left, writing me from Arizona. They're just, that is a story that never dries up. It's just a continuing
Correct.
Problem with the state. So, and we still have leaders in Springfield. I had an editor at Crain's maybe a year ago when we started writing about the exodus. Tell me that I don't believe it, that this is all exaggerated. And well, okay, you just keep not believing it. It hit a nerve, and I think I also went to the defense of rich people, and then I had a lot of people writing in who also started a successful business, are doing pretty well, but they're tired of paying taxes to a government that is inefficient.
Ugh.
It's not that people don't want to pay taxes. They get it. We will pay our fair share. But when you're talking about taxing wealthy people at a rate of 70%, when you're talking about...
Thanks, AOC. Yeah.
Right. And you're talking about trying to introduce health care for all and all of these. Yes, Europe does have socialized medicine. Do you know what the tax rate is in Ireland and Germany and all of these other countries?
All I know 50%. Is that I've got relatives in other countries, including Canada, and they want to come to Illinois or the States to have their knees replaced, okay?
Sure.
Because they don't want to wait in line, waiting for their committee men to let them in.
Right.
Because that's what happens. I got to suck up to Mike Madigan again to get my knee replaced. That's what will happen. You know it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with it, so they're gone.
Well, and I think the people who are successful and wealthy, they're also really engaged. They see those pension numbers. They know what debt has been piled onto their backs, and they're just not willing to risk their retirement funds, and so they're moving.
And what about the rest of us who stay? Are we fools?
Yes. When's your exit strategy?
I don't want to leave. I mean, I make a joke about, you know, living the Rensselaer with the
tiny houses.
Tiny.
And the.
But I don't know. Well, first of all, the way the left is, would they even let me write a column about Chicago if I lived in, you know, how they rip me now and go crazy because I live in the suburbs?
Well, that's just silly. I mean.
But I mean, I could write a column like as a refugee, looking fondly at my home.
Right.
But it just, I don't want to leave, Kristen. I don't want these gangsters to kick me out of my house. Thanks, Kristen. And now our guest is David Krupa, the 19-year-old DePaul University freshman studying economics and political science. Running for alderman in the 13th Ward, he became national news, at least for me, and nationally everywhere, when I wrote columns about the challenges that he faces running against Mike Madigan's 13th Ward organization. Hello, Mr. Krupa.
Hi, John Cass. How you doing?
Good. So tell us let's do a little history, first of all. Explain to the people what happened with those challenges.
Well, a lot of them were done fraudulently, of course.
These are challenges to your nominating petitions.
That's right.
Right.
You know, they went out above and beyond the objection process and abused it, abused the revocation affidavit, and acquired many signatures fraudulently, and we can prove that just by the numbers alone. So this is a very interesting and unique case to my attorney, the Board of Elections, and everybody who's investigating.
You say unique. I don't know if it's actually probably unique, because I'm sure it's happened plenty in this city. But it's unique to seeing that there's bright, shining evidence in front of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in times before, my lawyer had said that he had seen maybe 10 of them here and there, you know, instances where people were proactive in revoking their signature. He's never seen them filed on this massive scale before.
Just so we can get the numbers in our heads in front of us while you listen and while we talk about it, Krupa needed 473 valid signatures of ward residents to get on the 13th Ward Aldermanic ballot. He filed 1,729 signatures with the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners. Then a crew of mysterious political workers, perhaps they were, Buddhist monks, or maybe traveling.
Concerned citizens.
Or traveling Eloy, the Tranquil Sun people what was that movie? The Time Machine.
Yeah, Time Machine.
What happened was they got 2,796 petitions of revocation. So you filed 1,703, and 2,796 people testified that I want to revoke my ballot, my signature. That means 2,796 ward residents filed legal affidavits that they wanted their signatures taken off. And there you get to perjury and fraud. Correct?
That sounds pretty accurate.
Right? So what's the latest now? You filed a lawsuit in federal court on the coldest day of the year, and I wasn't about to go down there, but I'm glad that we did. I think we did a story, right? And you filed it with your attorney, Tony Parega, right?
Right.
And what is your attorney, what do you allege in your lawsuit?
We're alleging that there was civil rights violations, constitutional right violations, fraud, and conspiracy. I believe that's what they put in the complaint.
So, and I want to walk back a little bit on this, too. So you're 19, you're a freshman, DePaul, right?
Right.
So who said to you, because there has to have been somebody who's like, you should really do this, you should really run. Who did that?
Actually, it was entirely my own thought to run.
Sure. I mean, you've probably, I'm percolating the idea, but I mean, I'm thinking back to when I'm, you know, we're not definitely not the same person, but when I was 19, I could never decided something I wanted to do. You know, 19, I would couldn't pick out the clothes I wanted to wear the next day.
Well, I guess, you know, I had
when
one,
I was 19.
I had one person that kind of gave me the confidence to run. I had bounced the idea off them the night that I had decided, and they said, you know what, you should do it. That was my friend Josh. Friend Josh, who, funny enough, actually used to work at Quinn's office and be his neighbor. But, of course, him and I have been much better friends than he was with Quinn. So he supports me 100%. And he goes, yeah, dude, just take Marty out of office. So here we are.
And just for the record, because, you know, I'm not only an excellent podcaster with Jeff Carlin, but I'm also a journalist of high repute in this town. And I'm offering Marty Quinn, the mini-me of Mike Madigan, to come on this show, and I'm going to give him equal time if he shows up, okay?
Sure.
Marty, so this is your offer. I want to hear, you know, whose heads were hanging from the Indian on 64th and 63rd and Pulaski after Mike heard about what you did, which is go out there and get all these petitions and cause him a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because I figure Marty's in trouble here.
Oh, they're all in trouble, man. This is all, it's like a big house of cards, and it's just falling down at the seams. And there's actually a lot more that's going to be coming out soon besides the federal lawsuit and everything that's going on. We're going to be investigating all the notaries as well because, of course, these were the people that were circulating the affidavits, committing the actual fraud, strong-arming people, lying to them. We have countless people who are ready to testify. And several notarized statements of people saying they didn't even notarize it at my door. The notary who came said that I needed to sign it for such and such reasons, which, you know, we've analyzed, and
right,
all of the reasons were false. Huge misrepresentations. We also believe that some of the people notarizing these documents weren't current notaries, that their notarizing abilities were actually expired. So there's a lot of things we're looking into, but there's going to be an interesting investigation going on soon.
Well, when you fought back against the Madigan machine, here's what happened. They talked to me, and they said, are you sure about this kid? You really want to go to bat for this kid? Because there's stuff in his background. And I said, what stuff? And I was not convinced. And then they went around and shopped the story to weekend journalists on television who do weekend stuff, okay? Not the regular crew, you know, the political. And they got an order of protection story in where your former girlfriend who works for
as an intern for Madigan and Quinn.
For Madigan and Quinn says that you treated her badly and you were like threatening and abusive, and they're asking you in that sort of
when did you stop beating your wife?
It was like, do you have any, you know, like that woman, right, on Today's Show, what's her name? Do you have anything that
Savannah Guthrie?
Right. Are you sorry for anything you did? You know, that kind of stuff. And the way they ask it is about destroying this kid's life. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, well, I think it's to requote Madigan, because he said filing my federal lawsuit is a play out of the ultra-right playbook. And I have to say that using something like this, which is not a story, to try and slander someone's character, is a play out of the ultra-Madigan Democrat book. You know, these people are as corrupt as they get, and if they want to play the dirt game, I've got mountains on them, and they've got nothing on me that they're trying to make up. But I can very briefly go over it, you know. False allegations filed on an emergency order of protection. Anybody can do that, by the way. I can go and file one against you tomorrow, and it would be put through the courts.
Yeah, I hope. What would it say? That I made sexual advances against you?
It could
you?
Say anything because
something, right?
It could say
me
anything.
And Jeff together. Yeah,
you don't even have any repercussions for lying on it. So, right. But the judge found that not only were the things can't be proved, but that they were proven to be false. And she didn't just dismiss it. She vacated the order. There's no story there whatsoever.
But the fact is that the young woman that you used to date works for Madigan.
Yeah.
And is the basis for the law, for the stories that were circulated against you. Jeff, as a journalism, if you ever become a journalism professor, what would you tell those assignment editors from Channel 2, Channel 5, I think, a couple of them, right, that did these stories? I don't know which ones exactly. I think two. BBM, right?
I did an interview on two, but yeah. they were very fair with the coverage. I thought, you know, it wasn't a hit piece. Of course, they've got some integrity.
What's the time frame of the restraint, not the restraining, but the file against you? Was that after? Where did that happen?
After what?
The timeline of your ex girlfriend going to the judge. I mean, what's that?
Oh well, that was. I think 2.5 or 3 years ago or something like that. Her father had just thought he didn't want us to be together anymore. He couldn't control it, you know, or convince her to, or I to break up with each other. So he just did this on his own sometime around like June of 2017, I think.
Guys,
so that's the time frame.
Very Shakespearean.
Well, the point being here, now that we push that aside for a second, you're running against the most powerful ward organization in the city, of the powerful ward organizations. Mike Madigan is the boss. You're really running against Mike Madigan, even though his mini-me, Marty Quinn, who had his brother had a problem, didn't he? His brother, Mike Madigan's people had problems with the Me Too movement, didn't they?
Yeah. You know, there were a lot of people in Madigan's organization, his chief of staff, Kevin Quinn, who got caught up in Me Too allegations, and then there's a lot of drama back there. I try not to talk about it too much because I'd like to think I'm a little classy.
So what are the issues then? What are the issues facing the ward, the 13th ward? And again, Marty Quinn, you and Boss Madigan, Boss Madigan can come too, and you can sit in his lap, and he can put his hand in that space behind your head and move your lips and talk if you want. And you're more than welcome to come here. But what are the issues, Mr. Krupa, of the 13th Ward?
I think some of our biggest issues are really nonpartisan issues that anyone can take care of if they've got a good heart. Security is a big one, right? We need more security in the forms of neighborhood watch groups, community awareness and involvement, and police patrolling at night. I think that would do us a lot of good. Communication with the police department and those neighborhood watch groups, the best way to handle that. Pension crisis, it's affecting everyone, no matter which way you are, right, left, or in the middle. We need to work with state lawmakers on having sustainable pension reform. For me, I have a couple of plans about how to do that. And then the property taxes, they go up and up and up, and they never come back down. And funny enough, this is the whole investigation that's going on with city council right now. So many people like Madigan and others have private law firms that like to appeal people's property taxes. So,
right.
The property taxes go up, but don't worry. Madigan's sending around flyers in our neighborhood. He's here to save the day. Just use his law firm.
Well, I've been out in the 13th Ward. I'm from basically the Southwest Side, and my family had a business there for years. Okay, so I know the ward pretty well. They used to, 79th Street was part of the ward. Is it still part of the ward?
No, I don't think it goes down that
remapped?
Far anymore.
Yeah, well,
I think 73rd is the farthest.
Okay, there used to be, in down the middle of the street, there were those planters. Remember Daly wanted those planters all over? And I remember people in the neighborhood complaining that they were rat havens.
Oh, and they are. They're like a Michigan Avenue or the Medians.
Right.
That's what they are. Remember a couple years ago, the cold freeze, and then someone like was found huddling one surrounded by rats.
Oh, my
God. I know.
It's like a Ben, with, what's his name? That song. Mr. Krupa, I don't know if you're going to win this race. It's an uphill battle. You're going against, you got to get people out. I don't know how you're going to do that, but you're trying, right?
We think the votes are there. We think they're already there, and we just got to keep them, you know, voting for us. There's a lot of people who hate Madigan and Quinn. And if they don't hate Quinn, they hate Madigan. And his name is so tarnished in our neighborhood. The only way these guys can win elections is if they cheat to win and take people off the ballot before the election even starts.
I don't know if Mike Madigan has to cheat to beat a 19-year-old who's never run for office before, but
they tried.
They tried in this. That's the thing that amazed me. They did right. That's federal fraud right there. That's fraud on. I mean, clearly, the FBI has got the documents. The state's attorney who she won't go after. Preckwinkle.
No, she's got Preckwinkle's
is Kim Fox's boss and Kim and patron, and she won't go after Madigan. They're part of that whole crew. But maybe the feds someday, huh?
They're already sniffing around from what the papers are telling us.
I think the feds, you know, they're going to play a pivotal role in bringing down the Madigan organization. But, you know, going back to our chances of winning, I think they're pretty favorable.
Let's, before we go, we got to have a couple ward questions.
Oh, sure.
Serious ward questions.
Good.
Okay. Bakery.
Sorry.
Hold up.
Bakery.
Bakery.
Let's your favorite bakery in the ward?
I'd have to say Thai Chex. I love it.
And where's that?
Right off of Archer and Narragansett.
And they're famous for their bacon buns, eh?
I like their bacon buns a lot.
Okay, so you go for bacon buns there rather than Racine Bakery?
I would say so. Yeah. I've been going there since I was a kid.
The old lady's still there? The grandma? She's still baking? I think so.
I don't know. Right? I haven't seen her, but...
Pizza.
I would say Lena's Pizza.
Not Vito Nick's? Is that part of it?
I don't know if it's even part of it.
It's not. I don't know what the ward boundaries are now. Jeff?
Best place for pie. Or, but take it back. Best place, best greasy spoon diner, like you want breakfast, you want a corned beef hash, some eggs.
You know, there's not too many diners.
Flank steak.
There's not too many diners in the ward.
We were at one.
Well, you and I.
We were at Three Sons, right next to, but is that part of the ward now?
Yeah. There's not too many diners in the ward, but I do like Cafe 63 off of 63rd and Narragansett. That's a good diner.
Okay. We'll have to try that out. Yeah, we'll do a podcast from there soon. Thanks for being here, David. Good luck to you. And again, Marty Quinn, you're invited, and you can come and sit in Mike Madigan's lap, and I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks. For David Krupa. Candidate of the 13th Ward going up against the mighty Mike Madigan boss machine. For Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board, my friend and our friend and Tribune columnist. For Jeff Carlin, once again, steadfast Jeff, producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis here on WGN. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, a lonely conservative. Floating on a sugar cookie in a sea of liberal Illinois milk. This has been the Chicago Way. Thanks, everybody.